In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
Hello. Don't say anything bad because I'm already recording.
Yes, I know.
And we have verifiable data, including some I just got, that you were not heard last time. So,
not heard at all.
Well, not very well. In fact, somebody officially couldn't listen to the damn thing because they could only hear me, or if they heard you, then I was way too loud. So I'm trying to stay back from the microphone this time.
Don't say anything bad. I mean, what would I ever say bad?
Because when we're not on the air, you swear a lot.
That's right.
So
Everybody who knows me knows that's true.
I'm a little freaked out, though, because I don't think I'm talking particularly loud, but the thing is very...
Well, you have a more resonant voice than I've got.
Big. Well, especially right now, because I've been sick, and so I got the deep throaty thing. But you have to talk, focus, and talk on the mic, and talk loud enough.
Okay.
Say hello, people.
Hello, people.
Even then, like, you're hardly showing up.
Well, I speak softly.
Well, don't do that.
And I don't even carry a big stick.
Well, see, then you shouldn't. So watch out for the cat over there, by the way. He was messing around until just a bit ago.
Oh.
This is a great way to start a show.
I thought if you were going to record when I got here, it was going to be one of those...
more interesting.
There'd be a setup somehow, and when I walked in, it would be more, yes, interesting, entertaining.
No, same shit, different week. welcome, everyone, to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, episode 33. I looked it up this time.
That's good.
Welcome to the Halloween Spooktacular.
Yes, exactly.
Which doesn't mean anything except that I've been sick, so I sound really spooky. With my stuffed up nose and my sick. And I have a cloth in case I sneeze or cough to protect the listeners with their poor, delicate sensibilities.
But not me.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you don't care if I get sick.
No, probably not at all. I licked that chair.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm gonna tell you right now. If I was ever sick on a Thursday, I wouldn't be coming over here.
You have come over here when you were sick. Remember we had the whole lozenge episode?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you've been sick.
I wasn't as sick as you sound though.
Yeah, no, it's been bad. No, but this is the aftermath. I feel much better. I've been to work the last 2 days.
Oh, good.
I feel much better, but you know, I did the whole dropping into my chest thing, so it's all like nasty. See, that was muffled.
That was nice.
There we go.
But it still made the thing go whoop. And so you really think that's necessary, huh?
I do, because seriously, like, I'm bigger than you.
But you are bigger than me.
But in sound.
Okay, I see.
Except when you laugh. When you laugh, it gets big, but it also gets very skinny.
Oh.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a pen in my hair. Anyway, welcome to episode 33. Magical talking that Halloween
that.
Spooktacular, which don't get excited. We nothing at all, but there you go. Maybe that's what would be what we call it.
What are you doing for Halloween this year? Do you know?
Well, here's the thing. When is trick or treat night?
Oh well, I don't know. Halloween itself is Monday.
Monday,
correct?
And I think that's probably trick or treat night.
Could be
because they don't usually move it, but I want to double check. But we have a tradition. In our household, me and the producer sit in this room and like play games or read to each other, stuff like that. And we order Wigatoni from Wig and Pen, and we answer the door for trick-or-treaters.
Oh.
Which is really something of a sociological experiment, because the number of trick-or-treaters over the years has varied in no recognizable pattern.
Mm-hmm.
to as many as, I'd say, probably 30 on a good year, to as few as, I think our record is like 4.
Wow. Kids.
And I don't mean groups, I mean kids. So we never really know. What? Oh, crap, we haven't put the witch up.
I noticed that.
Well, you should have said something.
I should have said something last week, because...
I try and give the witch 2 months, but Trish usually wants her away after Halloween, so this is not good.
Last week I thought I'd see it, and I didn't. I thought, well,
you
maybe...
You should have said.
Well, I didn't know. Maybe I thought maybe you all decided you weren't going to...
No, I totally forgot. Usually, we have a banner that goes on our door that's a silhouette of a witch at a cauldron, and we love it. And I especially love it. And damn, I'm sad. Now I'm going to get like 5 days out of it.
I should have
make me take it down.
I was last week when I came, I was going to ask where it was, but I wasn't sure if it would be a sore spot, like if the cats ruined it or something. And it would
no, no, it's fine.
It.
I just haven't put it up.
I should have said.
For those of you who didn't hear, the producer just reminded me of that from the other room. What do you do for Halloween?
Well, we used to, when the kids were younger, you know, we'd take them out to trick-or-treat. And we would dress up in costumes ourselves when we went around, which was fun.
Kids, oh, crap, was that thing my cough? I muffled it, I swear.
The kids haven't done that, though, for a couple of years. And so I think last year is the first year where we really didn't do much of anything. I think the kids were at Halloween parties or something. And
you should get a lot of trick-or-treaters, though, because you're in one of those areas it's just a giant housing complex.
We didn't know until the last minute that we basically were going to be kind of on our own watching scary movies or something, which was a first for us. I mean, we usually have we have a big meal on the night of Halloween. A big sort of feast.
Brains. Food.
No. But we didn't have one last year, and it just sort of took us by surprise how, you know, the scheduling and everything, and so we didn't really end up doing much of anything. And I really don't know what we're going to do this year.
Well, plan sooner.
Well, but we did, and then, you know, when the kids have some function to go to, well, of course we want them to go. I mean, that's when you're in high school, that's fun to go to.
Yeah.
Parties and things. So even if it's a last minute thing, it's like, oh yeah, go, you know, whatever. And so then whatever plans we had, you know,
okay,
sort of ruined.
The children won't be there. Plan accordingly. Go.
Yeah.
No, not right now, but when
you know, that's funny you should say that, because it's a lot of times when the kids are gone for some reason, suddenly we don't know what to do, because everything we do is related to them or revolves around them, and then suddenly they're gone, and we look at ourselves, wow, what would we do that we don't normally do, and we don't even remember anymore?
Drink and porn.
No,
booze and porn.
We don't do those things, so.
We have the same problem with the cats. Everything we do is surrounded by the cats, and when the cats suddenly have plans elsewhere, like we don't. No, when you're talking about a Halloween and a big meal, I was just watching 30 Rock, which... Dude, syndication of 30 Rock is one of the best things that's ever happened in my life.
Okay.
I love that. But, and they had one, and it comes up to Tracy Morgan's character and says, did you hear that the fat guy that was the inspiration for the video game Pac-Man just died last week? And Tracy Morgan says, tonight I will eat a big bowl of cherries and ghost meat in his honor. Tony, I love that show. But I now see why it wasn't till like second season that we started watching it, because first season was not as good.
Hmm.
First season, it was crazy, but you didn't really know where they were going yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little bit awkward.
See, my brother, he stopped watching, actually, after a couple of seasons, because he liked that Liz Lemon was kind of a straight, you know.
Yeah, and then she became a different kind of complete mess.
Yeah. He thought there should be at least one sane person in the group.
And as much as I adore Tina Fey, and she has some great lines, I watch it for Tracy Morgan and Alec Baldwin. They get all the best lines, especially Tracy Morgan. Holy crap. Oh, God, I'm so snotty today. Okay, so let's get this out of the way. How was your week, William? Did you consume any interesting media at all?
Not really, although I do want to mention... Felicia Day started a new web series based on Dragon Age universe.
Really?
Yeah.
This isn't what you talked about last week.
So. No, no. In fact, I was watching it last week and I forgot to mention it. Dragon Age Redemption, it's called.
And it's for serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's not a comedic thing?
No.
Oh.
She's in it. She plays an elven assassin who is also part of the Qun, and she, well, you know, you just have to watch it. I think there's three.
It's part of the Qun. I haven't played the second one, so to me that sounds very weird.
Well, the
I thought the Qadari were an actual species.
They are, but they're kind of named after their philosophy. The Qun is more of a philosophy than it is a race.
Okay.
I mean, they're called the Qunari, but it's based less on the fact that they are a specific species, giants, I guess you could say. But their name is derived from a philosophy that people can convert to.
So it's like Sith.
Kind of. Elves often convert to it because, you know, their heritage has been taken from them and they live in, you know, these alienages, you know, and they don't feel like they have any real purpose, and the Qunari, you know, give them that. So
it's like fascism.
I don't know. I don't know. You'd have to play the game and sort of get your own feel for
it.
Well,
I'm gonna eventually, but.
I suppose it is, you know, I mean, even in the original game, people didn't really have names, they had roles, you know, like Sten in the original, that was more of a rank or a role than it was a name.
My video game situation is so sad that this last weekend I made my Christmas list for the in-laws, because they do Christmas lists, and the video game portion of it was all the same games that were on my list last year, exactly the same. Plus one new one. Wow. That was it. Because I've gone through this list before, but I haven't done Mass Effect 2. I haven't done Dragon Age 2. I haven't done Fable 3. I haven't done Final Fantasy 13.
I'd be interested to know what you think about Dragon Age 2, because
I'd be interested to know what I think.
Well,
too.
I didn't realize this, but a lot of people didn't like it, who were big fans of the original.
Huh.
Now, Lisa, did Lisa play it?
Lisa is still playing the downloadable stuff. I think she liked it.
Okay.
I don't know. She was a huge fan of the first one.
Yeah, she was. That's why I asked.
Crazy.
So. Because I was a little... I thought, well, if she was a big fan of the first one, I knew that. So I thought, well, maybe... There's a lot of things that are different. When I realized how many people didn't like it, I stopped and thought about it. What could they possibly not like? And then I remembered, well, they changed this, they changed this.
And that always gets people. I mean, if you like something and then they change it.
Oh, they changed lots of stuff. Now, I happen to be okay with all the changes, mostly. I mean...
You tend to be better with that.
But
in general.
But I could see how, you know, little things like the Qunari all have horns now. Which, you know, that seems like a really trivial thing that some people wouldn't even remember if they had horns in the original. But other people might be really ticked off by that.
Well, but it also seems insignificant enough that why would you change it?
Well, that's an interesting thing. I think one of the things I assume about that is actually what I actually liked about it, which was it seems like the Darkspawn, the different types of Darkspawn correspond to,
Oh, different corrupted species?
Yeah, right. And the ogre that had horns,
was a Qunari.
Yeah,
okay.
Would be like, even though it's a lot bigger than a Qunari.
Yeah,
but you
see
what I'm saying? There's kind of that. And I like that, actually. I like that change to sort of draw a connection between the Darkspawn being like, you know, well, this one's a corrupted human, this one's a corrupted dwarf, this one's a corrupted whatever. Mm. I kind of like that. Oh, another thing they changed quite a bit. Well, they didn't really change it. It's just the story didn't allow for a lot of fighting with Darkspawn. So maybe a lot of people wanted to fight a lot of Darkspawn. They didn't get to do that very much in this one. And the characters...
I was mad about that in Infamous. You did not fight a lot of Darkspawn in Infamous.
But also, your character speaks. Some people might not like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They just had a lot of changes, and it didn't occur to me that anyone would, you know, hate it because of that.
You never get when people hate things. Okay, so no, Dragon Age Redemption. I'm going to try and remember to put that in the links, but I'm going to have to find it. But I suspect I can't.
Yeah.
Because that sounds cool to me. And I like...
Well,
I didn't go so far as to watch the sci-fi original movie that Felicia Day was in, but pretty much anything else Felicia Day I like to consume.
Well, if you like her on Facebook or whatever, you get announcements of all the stuff she's doing.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
That's how I know.
I should do that.
Because of Facebook. But that's all I had to say, and that took a lot longer than I expected it would, so please do share your week's worth of fun-filled media.
What did I do this week? Well, I was sick a lot of the time, so I played a lot more Eternal Sonata, the video game, the Final Fantasy clone, all about Frédéric Chopin. I don't have much to say about that. It's pretty much what you'd expect. What else did I do? I don't recall. Somebody would help
you
me remember.
Liar. He sends me an email wanting me to remind him that he did something last night, and I don't remember anything. And why would he send an email to me?
And yet you remember that I sent you.
Yeah, but that only because we sort of went back and forth about it.
Yeah.
And now because you're trying to set me up.
Last night being date night, being my wife's date night, I want that on the record.
You mean the date night?
She gets to choose.
Oh, okay.
every two
thought,
date
I thought
nights.
You were saying there's one. Why?
No,
there's
we have every Wednesday is date night, and it's actually in the budget, so there's money for it. And you're in charge of two Wednesdays
in
a row. One of us.
Well, one of you.
Between me and my wife. Okay. Is like, for example, let's say I'm in charge for 2 weeks, then the following 2 weeks she's in charge for those 2 days, and she decides what we do, where we go. That kind of thing. So last night was one of hers, and she decided we were going to the movies.
Uh-oh.
And I hear her coming into the room.
Producer's coming. I think she wants to make sure the story gets told.
By the way, people.
I want to do an interpretive. You're playing so cool. Obeying every rule.
Spoiler alert. It's not time yet.
Of the story that
you're
telling?
Yes. You went to see the remake of Footloose?
There's a spoiler alert on the Magical Talking Cat.
Yes. Spoiler alert. There it is, people. By the way, you're going to want to speak up because people may need to turn down this part because I may get a little loud.
Okay.
During this part because I have a lot to say.
About Footloose.
About the remake of Footloose.
Didn't you have a lot to say before you even saw it? Or
need to... yeah. But...
Also, spoiler alert, William dies at the end.
What?
That's our family joke.
I do?
Yes.
I've never told you that.
We've told you about this, haven't we?
Wait a minute.
This is a joke. I don't remember how it came up. But we were talking about something, and we were talking about you, and then we were talking about something involving spoilers. And Trish read it weird, and she's like, I thought you were telling me you were going to give me spoilers of William. And I said, yeah, he dies at the end.
And I was crushed, William. And then I realized, well, of course you die at the end.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes.
That's really, that's pretty much
it. And so every once in a while we'll be like, so, you want to know how William ends? She's like, don't tell me. And I'm like, he dies.
But how do I die? You still don't know that.
No, I'm not going to spoil that for people. Okay. Anyway, we saw the remake of Footloose. Now, I just want to give some perspective here for people who may be too young or who may live in a different country and have not experienced this properly. Some people may not know or be fully aware of what Footloose is.
It's awesome!
Footloose was a movie in 1984 starring Kevin Bacon and John Lithgow, among others, about a small Midwestern town where they outlawed dancing in public.
And for good reason, too. No, I'm just...
No. it is, to be fair, supposedly based roughly on a true story about a town that technically had a ban for 100 years on public dancing. But there you go.
Which back in the 80s was actually not that unusual, really.
It was still kind of, though.
Yeah, but not that much.
But no, at that point, it was a strained premise. It was not a completely ridiculous premise. It made you go, like, really? A town that banned dance? Well, okay, it's a movie. We'll watch it. Here's the thing. It's 2011. And this movie that we saw is about a town that banned dancing.
Well, yeah. And nobody in the movie looked at the people and said, what's wrong with you people? Haven't you seen Footloose?
No, but that came up. That came up with Trish. Because we're watching, and it starts with the... Okay, spoiler alert for Footloose, people. So just get over it. The setup for why we banned dancing is that there's a kids dancing, and then some of them get into a car wreck on the way home and die. And we decide to blame this on the dancing.
Well, yes, exactly. That's what causes car accidents,
anyway,
and babies, and...
Anyway, the opening
thermonuclear war
of this is said dance that is going to lead to tragedy. And they are dancing to and singing along with the original Kenny Loggins song, Footloose.
Mm-hmm.
While this is going on, the producer leans over to me and says, so this is a universe where all these kids know this song, but they don't know the movie that happened with it.
That's right. Because in that universe, it's a 2011 song.
No, it wasn't, though, because it was still Kenny Loggins.
So?
No, because, no, this
maybe
this
Kenny
is...
Loggins was born later.
No.
Or maybe this is his comeback album.
No, because you don't
Footloose
even know. You don't even know. But yeah, you're making me get ahead of my story. I want to say, while I was watching it, I realized a couple of things. One, I'm not 100% sure I saw the original. I either never saw it, or I was young enough that I don't remember anymore.
I didn't see it, wasn't interested in seeing it.
I mean, I know some about it, but I don't know for sure. And also, I realized that I am clearly not the age demographic for this new film. But those two facts in mind, it was awful. And it was awful in the only way it could be. I mean, you cannot remake. And this is not, you know, reimagining. This is a literal remake. I mean, not shot for shot. We tried to do shit like... There was some shot for shot, actually. Even some that I recognize, and I haven't seen the damn movie.
An homage.
But, like, we set it in the South to try and make that be more believable.
Well, if the original had been set in the South, it would be more believable.
No, the original was set in the Midwest.
I know, which
yeah,
should
but
have
this
been,
one
it
was
should have been set in the South.
Down
it would
in
have
the
made
South.
More sense.
But other than, I mean, it was the same storyline all the way through. Like, it was the same plot. And you can't do that.
Well,
like, you can't do that and have it not suck.
This is kind of what I thought when I was standing in the theater waiting for another movie, and I looked up and I saw a preview for it.
Yeah.
And I watched, they didn't give the title yet. I just watched it sort of unfold the story, and I thought,
You're like, this is either Footloose or Step Up 4.
No. What I thought was, this is a joke, right? And then the title came up, and I realized,
no,
someone has really done this. And it was apparent from the preview that it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't going to be any kind of reboot or like a second chapter to it, somehow connected or anything. This was going to be the original story told today. And I thought to myself, there's no way. I mean, as you pointed out,
yeah,
it's kind of strained credulity the first time back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And now I just don't
yeah.
think so.
And like, but it's weird because we know this. You know, and Trish says we had to see it. And she may be right. She at least may have had, because she loves the original.
Yeah, fan of the original,
there's a thing.
Sure.
But we walked in knowing it was going to suck. She knew it was going to suck. She said it was going to suck. We left. she still apologized to me. And it's not even that it sucked worse, because that's the thing, is you walk in, you're like, this is going to be terrible, there's no way it works. You see it, and you go, oh my God, and you try and claw your eyes out, and then you walk out, and you're like, but what did I expect?
Yeah.
Like, it's exactly as bad as you thought it would be, and yet it still hurts when you watch it. Like, being prepared for that fact did not help. But here's the thing. Drove me nuts. There are 4 songs in this film that were in the original film.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. 2 of them are remakes. Recent remakes.
Mm-hmm.
Largely, we're doing sort of country-ish stuff, but not entirely. And it includes a god-awful acoustic remake of I Need a Hero.
Hmm.
Now, let me repeat that just so you people understand that where have all the good men gone and where are all the gods? You know, I need a hero. I'm holding up here. Acoustic remake of this song. 2 songs are like that in this movie. And the other 2, they play the original song, and then later in the movie, like, not in a context or anything, they just play updated remakes of the song. I don't know why.
Well,
and it made me sad in my heart.
But hear what you said. You said, you don't know why. But see, that can explain...
the movie.
Yeah. Someone came in and pitched this.
Yeah.
And they gave it the green light.
Yeah.
You know, after that happened,
well,
all kinds of crazy things can happen after that.
And as Trish said to me when I was ranting in the car on the way home, she's like, I grant you that it was awful, but she's like, if someone had told you that in 2011 they were going to remake Footloose and they were going to make a movie based on Rock'em Sock'em Robots, which do you think would be the bigger success? What would you say? And you probably wouldn't say Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Well, I would, actually.
I actually kind of would, too. But come on! But that's you and me. Like, but come on. Like, Rock'em Sock'em Robots. But yeah, like, totally. This movie made me excited for the Battleship movie. That's how bad this was. I'm waiting for the Battleship movie to come now. But, I do have to say, there's a character in this movie. It's the same character from the original. It's the guy's best friend who doesn't know how to dance. And we teach him how to dance.
He's like a cowboy.
In this movie, he is. And his name is Willard.
He's in the other one.
Oh, in the other one, is he a cowboy also? Okay.
His name is Willard. Where's this same hat?
Same hat. Looks older. But I do have to say that I'm making a point here, people.
Okay, sorry.
It's an important point about the Footloose remake.
How do I know so much about this film without ever seeing it? I never did.
Same reason I did. It's weird.
Footloose.
Guy
had a hat.
It's but yeah, cultural. It is. His name is Willard in this movie. Willard is awesome. I like Willard. Willard was great. Only thing about this movie was Willard.
Well, who played Willard?
I don't know. Some guy. But largely, this is based on the montage of teaching him to dance, which is set to the original version of Let's Hear It for the Boy, and involves a lot of 3 to 5-year-old girls teaching him the moves.
Also, for the record, pretty much shot for shot.
Oh, was that? Okay, that apparently, for those who can't hear the producer, it's pretty much shot for shot, the whole thing. And that is the other good thing also, but there was some good dancing in it. Not enough to watch the film, don't get me wrong, but about halfway through the movie, I realized how I could enjoy this movie. I said, I have to stop paying attention to what is happening in the movie, because the things that happen are stupid. But if I'm not paying attention to that, there's some decent dancing, and that was fun. I like watching dancing. That was good. Also, though, here's the thing. I put this to you and to the listeners. When exactly did Dennis Quaid become a whore?
Well, I don't know when... A lot of people would say he always was.
No, he used to do some good films and has been a good actor. But he did G.I. Joe, he did Pandorum, and now he's in this. And he's the preacher. And his wife is played by Andie MacDowell, which I am not surprised about, because it's been like a decade since anybody asked her to do anything other than a makeup commercial. So her, I'm like, I can appreciate your situation. But, what happened to Dennis Quaid? Apparently, he will just be in your movie now if you ask him. So tell your kids that are making the Green Machine sequel.
Yeah.
The teacher can be played by Dennis Quaid. He'll just do it and probably feel less shame than he did about the Footloose remake.
Well, why didn't they at least change the premise? I mean, there's...
What do you mean, at least? That's the whole deal right there.
Well, not really, because it... Yeah, okay, they
change the premise.
They banned dancing, but they could...
They could have taken away their cell phones.
Yeah, there's lots of things they could have done.
And they tried to mix it in. They tried to do more about... It's a whole thing. It's the drinking and the vulgar dancing and all of that together. But it became about the dancing, and that was the whole thing. It was about the dancing. Oh, and it was bad.
They could have had a something where... And had a weird... There was so much bullying in the town, people were afraid to dance.
Well, and then we had some weird... You're a freak.
So then this guy comes and dances. Oh, wow, it's okay to dance. But maybe a few people make fun of him, and then, then you have to go into Act 2 with a little bit of conflict there. And I'm just spitballing it here.
You may have come up with the only movie premise that's worse than a remake of Footloose. But we also had a fair bit of violence, which was a little disconcerting in places. It's PG-13, but still.
Alright, so here's the takeaway.
Okay, I don't know if you guys can hear the producer, but listen.
Can you see me?
I can see you.
No, can you see me on the computer?
I don't know. Shh.
Okay, here's the takeaway.
It's more than William, so let's hope. So,
if you, as a listener, feel compelled to see Footloose, I'm sad to tell you you cannot stream it over Netflix, but you should rent it and then take the $15 you saved, put it in a thank you card, and send it to the hat.
Yes.
That is how bad it was.
Yes.
Watch Kevin Bacon. He deserved your praise and adulation, but these children, no.
No, just watch the original. Better. Yes. I haven't even seen it, and that's better. Well, yeah, that too. but makes slightly more sense. But here's the thing, though. She says that we can't watch it right now because it's not on streaming. And I'm nervous that the Suck Fairy got to Footloose.
What do you mean?
Don't you know about the Suck Fairy?
No.
Oh, God, Suck Fairy is awesome. We're not going to get to any questions today. the Suck Fairy is a little fairy, sprite pixie spirit thingy, that goes to your favorite media that you haven't consumed in a long time and fills it full of suck.
Oh, I think you told me about this once. So,
yes.
So when you first watched it, it was awesome. But
yes, and now you watch it. It's the same thing, but now it just sucks more.
It's terrible.
Yes, and it happens a lot with stuff you liked when you were a kid or
like
when you were a teenager.
Or the
exactly, exactly.
Or
and the Suck Fairy has a little cadre of assistant fairies, which include the sexism fairy, the racism fairy, and the heavy-handed message fairy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the heavy-handed message fairy really did a number on Chronicles of Narnia between when I read them as a kid and now.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. And the sexism fairy just shit all over the Chronicles of Amber. I was so pissed off about that. I loved those books in high school, and I read them to Trish, and I'm like, what? Where did all the sexism come from? So, yeah, worried that the Suck Fairy got to Footloose in the intervening years.
To the original one.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, dude, the Suck Fairy produced the recent one. The Suck Fairy fucking bankrolled the remake. No, but actually, do you know who wrote and directed the newest one?
Nope.
The guy whose other major credits are Hustle and Flow and Black Snake Moan. The movie about Samuel L. Jackson handcuffing Christina Ricci to a radiator.
A barely dressed
Christina. Yes. Yes. So she won't sin, I believe.
I didn't see that film either, but I saw.
I didn't see either.
I saw the previews. I didn't see either, but I saw the previews of the last one there, and I thought that doesn't look right at all.
So yeah, so that's how that went down. Yeah, don't see it. But the problem is, it's so tough right now because there is just fuck all for movies right now.
Well, I won't see anything to what's on Netflix anyway for a while, so.
It is sad. Like, we may go see the damn Justin Timberlake Time movie.
You don't have high hopes for that?
No. I mean, not so low that I may still go see it, but I mean, yeah, I don't really. I don't think that's going to work out. Better than the Musketeer film, but that's about it.
Yeah,
but there's just nothing. The situation is so grim right now that I am actually a little bit hopeful to see what happens with The Immortals.
Like, well, you know, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to next year with the third Batman movie is supposed to be out.
And Avengers.
I don't know when the Superman movie is supposed to be out.
Oh, God. I've given up on that kid. Oh, this, oddly enough, for reasons no one but me will understand, brings me up to an interesting point I wanted to make about this week. Last week's episode, episode 32, Vomit Goblins, has created records amount of traffic on our site.
Yeah, last I saw there was 27
literally
comments.
Literally dozens of people a day coming to our website. On average. And yeah, the episode itself has 27 comments. So y'all should go check that out if you have not before. Go check out the blog, which is at themagicaltalkinghat.com. You should tell them too, because with my nose, it might sound a little off.
Themagicaltalkinghat.com.
Yes.
Maybe they're coming because they heard you can't hear me very well.
I wondered when you were going to tie that in.
Hey, you can barely hear William. This is the best episode ever.
No, they shut up for Vomit Goblins. That was hilarious because Stu was listening to it. I don't know if I should say this. Stu was listening to it in a situation where I was also in a form of live chat with him at the time. And so I was getting play-by-play as he was going through the episode. And I was waiting for him to hit the actual Vomit Goblins.
I did notice in the comments that Steven is still listening, which...
Steve Gerbic from Serbia is still listening, and with Craig Duffy combined, our contingent of international hardhats is the dynamic duo, as it were. They need to get together. They need to have is it all European or is it Eurasian? What, is Serbia... It's still in Europe, right? It's Eastern Europe. They got to have a European convention of Magical Talking Hat listeners. Just the two of them will meet somewhere in the middle, which I'm going to say at random is Southern Germany. So you meet there and just talk about all your favorite hat stories and hat lore and, you know, trade hat collectibles and things like that. So you guys should really get together.
I've never been to the Denver airport, so how would they have any?
There we go.
I thought that's where all our...
Nobody has been to the Denver airport, and I'll tell you how I know this. We still haven't fucking sold Ezzy.
Yeah. Because surely if they'd shown up, they would have bought her.
Somebody buy my damn cat.
We really should draw something out of the hat. I mean, that's really what they come here for.
You're very comfortable about the unscripted parts of our show.
No, it's just...
Nobody has ever actually said that that's what they come here for.
But you know it is.
Well, if I was them, that's what I'd come here for. Okay. Draw something out of there and speak up. Because this is the informative part of the show, so. But the takeaway from the first 39 minutes, people, is don't go see the Footloose remake. And it's sad if some of you actually needed that advice.
Michelle, I think, would like us to discuss the songs of Tom Lehrer.
Michelle, who is also Blood Sparrow, and we're allowed to say that.
Is it Lehrer? Who's that?
Tom Lehrer?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, God.
Who is that? You're not going to tell me?
No, just, this is... This is a little man behind the curtain thing here. This is a question
that was... It's more of a comment. It doesn't even have a period at the end of it.
This is a topic that was written before the Magical Talking Hat started, when I initially cast out my net for questions. And when I got it, I said to myself, isn't this the guy who does the McNeil Lehrer News Hour? And I was waiting for the day when that came out, because I assumed you'd know who it is.
No.
And I was going to say, isn't that the guy who does the News Hour show on PBS? And then you'd laugh. Tom Lehrer writes satirical songs for a long time. He's all, like, before Weird Al. And some of his most famous ones are Poisoning Pigeons in the Park and the Masochism Tango, which are sadly the only two I know off the top of my head. He does great, great stuff. If you were in drama at all in high school, you should know who this is.
Well, I was, but only
for but you were in...
Only for 1 year.
And you were in Podunk drama,
too. We only had 1 year of drama when I was in high school. That was my senior year. We didn't have drama before that.
Oh, see, it's not funny because it's your senior year. It's more funny if it's like it was your sophomore year. And afterwards, they were like, yeah, we're done.
Well, they were done after my
you
senior
people,
year.
So nobody else got to do it later either?
Pretty much.
You ruined drama for your entire high school.
Well, I don't understand why. Because we For our first year, we did really well. We went to state, and I was in improvisational acting, and I went to state festival and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
You were in improvisational acting.
Yeah.
And you went to state festival.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you cannot create a spontaneous conversation to save your life these days.
Yeah. I must have lost something along the way. I really did well there, too.
You just can't manage it unless somebody shouts out an occupation from the audience. Is that
I have to have 30 minutes ahead of time.
And a chair.
Then I'm good.
That's where we're missing. You guys don't know, but we stand up during the entire recording of the podcast.
No, but seriously, chairs. I did really well at the state festival was some... It was an invitational. You went to state, and you had to get a certain level, and then they had to actually invite you. And I went... there's a guy who judges you, but it's not a competition. So, you know, he just critiques you afterwards. And he said he was so enthralled by my performance that he didn't even write anything down or anything. He thought it was so good. And like a few months later, I was in Bettendorf, Iowa, and, somebody behind me said something that was something my character said. Apparently they'd been in the audience and they recognized me. And they said this thing and I recognized it as the character I created for this improv. So, you know, that's actually a pretty big deal, that whole thing I did.
And yet you squandered away all that fame.
Yeah, now I'm nothing. I'm not interesting, funny, or spontaneous.
Or Canadian.
I was just a better person when I was 18, I guess.
Weren't we all? Oh wait, no, I was really not.
But I don't know this person, and I don't know any of their songs.
Tom Lehrer, I'll have to put that into the links also, because you all should know who Tom Lehrer is, because he's awesome.
My mom had a record of someone who wrote parody songs. His name was I don't remember.
And then gives up.
But he would have been 60s. Yeah, 60s. In the 60s, he was making albums. God, what was his name?
Tom Lehrer might have been doing them that far back.
He had a song called... anyway. Well, you know the song... Hello Mata, Hello Fata, Here I Am.
Yes,
that's him.
Okay, that's not Tom Lehrer.
No, this guy, I forget his name.
I don't remember his name either.
He did that one. That's him, but I forget his... Alan Sherman.
There we go.
Named Alan Sherman. He used to do stuff like that. He had some pretty funny stuff.
William, you ruined the bit. You didn't forget ever and give up.
I know. Well, I did give up, and then after I gave up,
came back.
It's kind of a Zen thing.
It's like Rocky II. Powerful, powerful stuff.
Whatever.
All right, thanks for your topic, Michelle. Sorry.
Sorry, we don't really know very much about.
I will fix that in the links as best I can. Okay.
She's such a loyal listener. Hard hat. And commenter, and here she gives us something
from,
to talk about.
I'm telling you, though, that was from before the show even started. That's an old, musty question.
Why would the hat give us this one when we don't know what to talk about? I suppose it just doesn't make sense.
I like watching the thing change as I make the noises. I'm worried it's going to happen again this time. Because you just, I don't know, I'm still working out the sound.
Well, the microphone, the front of the microphone even, is sitting right in front of me.
Well, I'll tell you, if it really sucks this time, we're going to change it. Because right now it's omnidirectional.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll put it back where it was, but we'll make it unidirectional. And so I'll just be behind the thing. And then it really should even us out. All right, this one is from Kia.
Kia.
Don't know which Kia.
Could be
which
me.
Really thwarts us here.
Could be
yeah.
Just the plain Kia.
Kia A. Kia Sorento.
Mm-hmm.
Kia Soul.
Who knows?
Kia, I don't remember any other models of that car. All right. I feel like we've dealt with this issue before, but dear the magical talking hat. See, doesn't that sound familiar?
I know I've heard that before.
Yeah, I think it's coming before. What are the best and worst Disney of Pixar movies? I think that may have been a typo on the part of the hat. It probably said Disney and or Disney or Pixar movies and why. Best and worst.
Well, I'm not a real fan of Disney in general, so I'm not sure I can speak to that.
I wouldn't say I am.
I'm a huge fan of Pixar, however.
You are quite
and,
a huge fan.
And I think the original Toy Story is still my favorite, but that's mostly for sentimental reasons. I don't know which one of their films I can say, you know, technically is the best.
Are there any you haven't seen?
Pixar films?
Yes.
Well, I didn't see the second Cars.
Okay.
That's why I really don't know.
Is that it?
Well, as far as the worst goes, probably the second Cars. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot of things about it, and I imagine if I see it, it probably won't.
But you have, because see, for me, I have some gaps, and I have to, you know, full disclosure. I'm just talking with you. Other than Cars 2, you've seen them all.
I mean,
the shorts, something may have slipped through.
I think so. Okay. I was a little disappointed with Wall-E. But really, mostly because I expected it to be something else. And I've seen it since then, and it's fine.
I get that sense. I have not seen Wall-E, but I get that sense with people that it was not the film people were expecting. And so it was kind of a love it or hate it thing for different reasons.
Yeah.
So, yeah, full disclosure, I haven't seen Wall-E. I haven't seen either the second or the third Toy Stories. That may be it. I may have seen all the rest of them. I have difficulty with best because when I hear best Pixar movie, I say Up. Just
oh yeah, because you really like that one.
Loved Up. Yeah. Loved Up on a variety of levels. Really like it. But when I think about it and when I think about what movie just really has consistently blown me away in rewatchings. I'm not going to say it's better, but at least a major contender is The Incredibles.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Incredibles was a great movie, and it was a great movie unlike movies we had seen at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It, for me, Toy Story works on a variety of levels and a variety of demographic levels. Largely by just playing really heavily on nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
To be totally fair. And it was still game changing. But to me, The Incredibles is really a movie that managed to put together stuff that everybody would like. Almost in the way the old Warner Brothers cartoons could. It just seamlessly mixed stuff that kids would really enjoy and grown-ups would really enjoy into a story that was incredibly familiar to everybody, but very different from anything that we've dealt with.
What did you think of Ratatouille? Have you ever seen that one?
I did see that one. And I think I liked it. I don't feel like I was blown away. I love Patton Oswalt, so I want to give him a lot of credit. And the other problem is, while we were at the theater watching that movie, my cat literally died.
Oh. Wow.
So we came home and my cat was dead.
Oh, that's
so crazy. I have some weird associations with that film. I remember it as being good and liking it, but not anything that gets on the best or worst list for me. Not having seen Cars 2, probably the worst for me of the ones I have seen, was Cars 1.
Didn't like
which I only recently saw, and I just I don't know. I just didn't give a damn, like, a lot.
I remember when I saw Monsters Inc. It was okay, but it was like it didn't really. Yeah, I kind of felt that way about it. I wasn't that engaged with it.
Well, some of it has to do with when you see them, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Because if you watch them for the first time, especially in the order that they're made, you can see a lot about the growth and evolution of the films. Because a lot of those movies change the way we think about animated movies and change the way we think about kids' movies in specific ways. And some of them very clearly built on stuff that happened in earlier ones.
That's right.
And so you can argue in some cases, and I think Monsters, Inc. is definitely a possibility. I really think Cars is one. That these are movies that didn't do that at the time. That it's a perfectly serviceable film, but
not
Pixar Studios is no different from having created that. Whereas with films like Toy Story, films like Incredibles, arguably films like WALL-E, and absolutely films like Up, like, you just don't look at the genre the same anymore, I think.
Well, and speaking of Disney more broadly, I have often been impressed by their more earlier efforts, you know, back when Uncle Walt was alive, where you could watch Sleeping Beauty and the you could turn the sound down on your television and you could read the witch's lips. I mean, that's some really good animation.
There
right
is some fascinating animation back in the day, back in sort of the pre. Well, let's be honest, the changing point was pretty much Little Mermaid. And that, even if you see whatever that documentary is, which I haven't seen, but I kind of want to, like, that was the point. Disney was kind of in the toilet for a while and doing some really stupid movies, and then Little Mermaid came out and became a huge thing.
Yeah.
And it sort of went from there.
The first Disney film I remember seeing, by the way, was in the theater, because that's the only way you could see it back then, and it was Bambi.
How'd you do?
Well, it was very traumatic. I mean, this is the whole reason I can remember that this is the first Disney film I saw, because I was devastated by that film.
But I'll tell you what, makes for one of the funniest Animaniacs episodes ever.
Well, maybe so, but
when Slappy the Squirrel's nephew goes to see Bumby the dearest deer. Oh, it's hilarious.
But it was a crusher.
Spoiler alert. Bambi's mom gets shot.
It's not like you see it happen, but
yeah, but it happens.
You know that is like, what happened, yeah. And when you're a kid, well, at least, I mean, kids these days, big, no, you know, whatever. I mean, when my godson was the same age that I was when I saw Bambi, if he'd seen Bambi, the first thing out of his mouth would have been, "Well, we don't get to see it." I thought we'd get to see her guts and everything.
Well, and it's an issue, like, one that still kind of intrigues / embarrasses me, is the one that really messed me up. I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it on TV. But it messed me up enough that I went downstairs where my mother was and just like sobbed and like talked to her for like an hour over this thing. Do you remember a film called Cloak and Dagger?
I've heard of it, yeah.
It was probably a Disney film, live action film, involving a kid, if I don't remember now, who's kind of an introverted nerd kid, and his escape from the mundane world where, like, his dad's never around and his mom doesn't understand him and he has no friends is this imaginary friend that's basically like a little G.I. Joe figure. He has a little figurine, but it's imaginary friend that's the super soldier guy who's his best buddy, played by Dabney Coleman. Let me repeat, played by Dabney Coleman. What the fuck? And is his, like, hero. And again, spoiler alert, people. The overall plot involves him and some other guy getting a hold of an Atari cartridge that it turns out has secret, like, government plans on it. Like, if you hit a certain score, like, it shows all this stuff for, like, a defense bomber or something. I don't know. But, and so it becomes this big actual espionage thing. And in the process, at a certain point, he and his imaginary friend sort of, like, have a fight, and he ends up breaking the figure, and the imaginary character dies. And it's like this big scene, like he's mortally wounded and all this. And at the end, it's redeemed because at the very end, his father shows up and like saves him, and his father turns out to also be played by Dabney Coleman. And so, you know, it's all good. But to me at the time, the concept of like this, your childhood imagination and your imaginary friend that was so real to you, like being gone and you never get that back. Mm-hmm. I lost my shit. And I went down and talked to my mom, and my mom, because things never change, talked about when she was younger and Puff the Magic Dragon, which is the same damn thing. And eventually the kid stops going to visit the dragon and all this. Yeah. And it just always happens over and over again. So I'm sure there's a new one with your kid's generation.
Indeed.
It just doesn't involve Bambi getting shot, because that's piddly nowadays.
Maybe when they're adults, they'll tell me what it is. I mean,
it's when everybody, when they found out Justin Bieber was actually a boy, you can't come back from that.
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be.
There's a lot of rough ones like that. And why, to this day, the hairs on my arm still go up when I'm watching that last scene in the first Karate Kid movie. And I know it's stupid, but it does. And I know how it ends, so come on. But yeah.
Are we out of time?
What was the question?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh, Disney Pixar films.
Oh yeah, we were talking about. Sorry, yeah, we got.
I had a terrible realization when we went and saw the most recent Rapunzel, the Tangled, in the theater. That was rough. Because I think it was probably a pretty good film for a Disney film.
It was okay.
But the thing is, it wasn't a Pixar film.
No.
And it wasn't meant for kids and adults. It was definitely meant for kids. And so, like, we, and again, it was an expectation thing. That film was not good to us. And sort of looking at it objectively, I think in the realm of kids' Disney films, it's probably pretty good. Mm-hmm. For the modern stuff, whatever. But it's just, it's not the same as going to see a Pixar film. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of rough on us then. Oddly enough, though, not Disney, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was more entertaining than I expected it to be.
Yeah, I had that experience with it, too.
And of course, if we're stepping outside of Disney, fuck all of that, Despicable Me. Despicable Me is fucking awesome.
I told you about our experience with that movie, right?
No. What happened?
We were... let's see. I was doing research for the novel, and we were driving all over Iowa so I could go to some of the places that were actually in the book. And
what are you, freaking Robert Heinlein?
And I don't remember where we were, but we had some time and we were going to go see. We'd heard a lot of good things about the film. We were going to go see it.
Yes.
It had been out for a while by then. We went to a theater, and like a weekday or something. I don't remember now, but it was completely empty except for us. And then about a dozen teenage girls came in and sat a few
rows
behind us.
And then gives up.
I'm going to tell you, there's no better way to watch that movie.
Really?
Yes. Because because at every little precious moment in the film, all of these girls go, "Oh!" It was so awesome. I mean, when they first came in, because when it comes to sitting in a theater, you know, I'm really sensitive to people talking behind me.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm really actually terrible about it, and sometimes I won't even go to the theater because I'm afraid it's going to be too crowded and someone's going to be kicking my seat or someone's going to bring someone who's not, you know, old enough really to be in the theater. So when these young women first came in, I was a little afraid that maybe they'd seen the movie before, maybe they'd be talking
that
to each other.
That they'd ruin it somehow, yeah.
But not at all. That, you know, as we were watching it, that was probably the best part, is every time one of the little girls would say something, that was so awesome. That was when we left the theater, we were both thrilled that we had a chance to watch it just like that, because it was so cool to have them back there doing that.
I can't speak to that level of experience, but awesome. I will say Despicable Me rocks, and it stands up to multiple. I think I've seen it 4 times.
Oh, okay.
And it's still good. Well, that movie is awesome.
Well, you know, the film that I saw, the animated film I saw that I really liked a lot, and I've only seen it once, but I'd like to see it again, is the one with Will Ferrell, the guy with the big head and the, what's it called? This is why I only see them once. No, but you know the film.
Will Ferrell. Oh, Megamind.
Yeah, that was really good.
I still haven't seen that, and I need to. I've heard nothing but good things.
I thought it was excellent, and I'd love to see it again.
But Despicable Me is better. I haven't seen Megamind, but I'm just saying. Because Despicable Me, awesome.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, we're over an hour now. So, if you would like the 50% chance that, or no, wait, sorry, out of all the questions, the lottery winning level of chance here that we might draw your question out of the hat, you should write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You should also go to the blog, because the blog is busy. at themagicaltalkinghat.com, and you should like us on Facebook, because we really need more props on Facebook. Why am I saying things like bizet and props?
I don't know.
What's up with that?
Maybe it's the gold change you have around your neck.
All my bling.
Yeah, you're wearing all your bling, and so you're feeling.
And part of why I'm talking weird is my grill. I got no. So like us on Facebook and tell other people, because we love our hard hats, and we will always give mad respect. I'm just running with it now. God. To our hard hats, to our peeps, as it were. But we would love more listeners. We would like lesser listeners, because right now, like, almost all of you are hard hats, and so you're all on this great level. We want a hierarchy where we can spit on the lower listeners, and then you can be revered as the great one. So work on that. Bring us some underlings. do our bidding. Go. The hat commands you.
But we thank Kia and Michelle for your contribution.
Yes, thank you, Kia and Michelle. And
apologize to the 2 or 3 other people who we didn't draw. Because we were complaining about Footloose.
Yeah, no. See,
well, you were complaining about Footloose.
Seriously, in public service.
Okay.
Like, don't even.
Okay.
Oh, so bad. But Willard's awesome. Anyway, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Next week.
That was a pretty spooky episode.
Yeah.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.